Amen. Praise His name. Let's stand together, if you will. We bow our heads and open the service. Great Lord Jesus, we love You. Father, thank You for yet another opportunity. Lord, as we've said, every opportunity becomes more precious, more, Lord, just more anticipation in our hearts, Lord, what You have for us. Lord, knowing the hour is growing so close, Lord, we got to get ready, Lord. We want to run like we've never run before, Lord Jesus. Father, may we be, Lord, yielded vessels to You tonight. Lord, reveal Yourself to us. Just show us where we can draw closer to You. Father, maybe a shortness or something in our lives that shouldn't be. Lord, teach us, Father. Just draw us closer. Oh, God, may we yield everything we are to You. Bless the service now, Lord. Even the songs, Father, that may settle our hearts and our minds and clear us. Lord, be ready for Your word when it comes. We ask this in Your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Come with me in our Holy Belief books. Praise His name. 232. Amen. Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. You got that glory in your heart?
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, when at the cross the Savior made me my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Oh, born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace He did proffer. He saved me. Praise His dear name. Hallelujah. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. Amen. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Oh, riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Amen. Heaven came down and glory filled.
my soul. Oh, when at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful day, saints. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 289. Amen. Springs of living water. Hallelujah. I love this song. Amen. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Amen. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. Amen. Listen. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Hallelujah. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Sing it again. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I. Amen. Are you happy? Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Yes.
Amen. All saints. He's always there to fill you thirst. Fill my cup up, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come for the altar?
Thank you.
Amen. Praise his holy name. That's the blessings, if you will. Oh, I want to see him.
Yes.
Look upon his face. Let's sing it together.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my last ever to rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful grace. I may have something on your heart you'd like to take before him. Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Josh, would you take the request? You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song joint, Karen? Yes, if you come. Stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come. Only Believe.
bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we are so thankful for another opportunity to come. And Lord, we just to be able to open up these pages and to renew our minds to the things that you have spoken unto us. And Lord, to draw ourselves closer to you and to ask you, Lord, to make even these few scriptures tonight, Lord, maybe mean a little more to us. That, Lord, we would be more diligent, more in tune, Lord, with you having the preeminence in our lives. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless your word for the hearing of our hearts. And Lord, just move me out of the way and just let you have your free way, we pray. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Do you love him?
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Happy to be back out on a Sunday evening and see what the Lord has for us. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles to John the 14th chapter and read a very familiar scripture. Just going to renew your mind to a few things this evening. As I was meditating on this and Thursday, this through the past week, and boy, you could just go forever and ever and ever if you get started. So I thought, well, let's just see if we can't condense it down for a little bit for a Sunday evening and just pull out a few nuggets and stir our hearts through the way of renewing our minds. Here in John, the 14th chapter, and let's read this starting at the 23rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. I know our pastor read this just a few services ago, but I'm thinking about it in a little different light this evening. But keep in mind what our pastor's been bringing on being led by the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost being a prisoner and having his preeminence. But I want you to think about that is, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And just that scripture alone, it's pretty easy to be a fruit inspector sometimes, and we can weigh ourselves and see where we stand. And there's a lot of truth in that. But Jesus, I just love how he said, I've spoken these things being yet present with you. But that Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. All mine at the time they're needful, he'll be there. And that's what I rest in, not in my abilities, but only in him and what he's done for us by his mercy and grace. But I'd like to turn back to Luke, the 24th chapter, and just start here and just kind of walk through the scriptures a little bit and just kind of meditate on these things. But here in Luke 24, and we'll start about the 44th verse. Jesus here, Luke speaking, and he says, and these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he saith unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And I want you to think about that promise. As Jesus was saying, all these words which I've spake, you know, they must be fulfilled. And then he opened their understanding that they could look back and see what those prophets had written and all the picture that unfolded for them at that moment. I want you to think about that. And then it says, they left, and then it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up the hands, blessed them, and it came to pass when he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I want you to think about that. What a rejoicing time when they realized what had happened. He opened up their understanding to be able to see, and what a joy it was. Let's turn over here to Acts, the first chapter, as Paul begins to expound a little bit on this. I just want you to think about God fulfilling his word. Amen. Watching it come to pass exactly the way he said it would.
Amen. Here in Acts, the first chapter, and we'll just, let's pop down here to, we can just start here about the third verse to catch what Paul was saying. And he said, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Yes. And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be a witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you to think about that, as we don't have time to go in and read it all, but now there lays the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit in those apostles. All down through there, we could go back and talk of the many things. And our pastor reminisced a few services ago about Stephen. We can look at Paul. We can see all that God done through those men. As they walked up to the gate called Beautiful, and there laid the impotent man, and they healed him, and they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Look at the power that was being restored back. The life coming back upon that bride to fulfill and to manifest every word. And I want you to think about that, because as he told him, the Holy Spirit would bring all things to the remembrance. Let's just read here in Acts, the second chapter, and first verse. Very familiar, but just let it be renewed in your heart. Amen. And oh, how important it should be to us to realize that we must be certain that we're born again. Amen. Been filled with the Spirit of God and had a soul change. Amen. To see these bodies turning completely, 100% to God's precious word. Here in Acts 2, and he says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And I'm going to skip that 9th and 10th verse just for the sake of not being able to pronounce everything exactly, but he was naming off the different tribes and the different nations that were there, down to about that, to the 11th verse. To the Cretes and the Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. Look there, God's word being fulfilled again. Right in tune and right to the letter. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I want you to look, God was fulfilling his word, and the promises came back. And as it came back into him, then the whole rest of the book of Acts we could read, and you can see God manifesting himself, proving that the baptism of the Holy Ghost they had received. And he was on the control seat, changing and moving and making things working exactly to his good. Yes. Now, today, many people, they get hung up so much on just that part about they were looking like they were drunk, like they were shouting and just moving around. And I believe in shouting. I believe in the good old Holy Ghost. It'll set your feet a-dancing. You know, God, if there's a time and a place that he moves on you, you can't help yourself sometimes. But sometimes it'll break you down and just make you bawl like a baby. You, nobody knows exactly what the Holy Spirit knows what the Holy Spirit wants when he begins to move. But often today, it's became such a thing of They're trying to go back to what they've seen other people do in the past, what they think the Pentecostal blessing was. And they get to look and they get their eyes so focused away, they don't realize God had a promise that was being fulfilled. And it was never done away with. God never done away with any of those blessings. They're still flowing today. But he kept growing. God had a plan, and that plan was to bring a people to a full maturity, a full stature of Christ, and to rebuild. And as we're standing here today as recipients of that, and Paul being able to show forth, let's turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter. And just think about as Paul puts it into context, and I'm sure as our pastor gets back into what he's bringing, it'll just continue to build if we'll just hold these things in our heart. Hey, man, here in Romans, the 8th, and let's just start here at the 11th verse. And just notice, Paul's very matter of fact. He wasn't maybe, it wasn't so, but he says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of that body, ye shall live." How are you going to do that? By a new birth, by the Holy Spirit bringing all things to your remembrance and letting this word take its full preeminence in our lives and changing us one right after the other. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of the God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." I want you to think about the way Paul is putting these things in there. Not matter, no guessing to it. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, it will quicken your mortal body. Yes. And you think about what the prophet said, and who is this Melchizedek? It's, when this body receives the Spirit of God, it quickly comes under subjection to God's precious word. Yes. The word says, don't do this, and the body turns from it. Yes. Overcoming power, working, a transformation taking place in our bodies every day. Hallelujah. And think again here, let's continue on over here to Romans 12, just renewing your mind to a few things. And Paul speaking here, remembering now, in 12 and 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Yes. And I want you to think about even what our pastor was saying this morning as he was speaking about where that greatest battle is being fought and how Satan's warfare, he's ramping it up, ramping it up, ramping it up. Yes. Have you ever noticed or thought about all of the digital data, music? It started with music way back, then it went into television, and then it went into computers, as he's mentioned, in the cell phones. So much. To look at even how doctors will tell you when you're pregnant, you should play music against the mother's womb for the baby to hear. Why? Because that brain is developing. It's picking up those things already. Satan knows. And look at how he's designed everything to try to control that. And why do you think even more now than maybe back then with what they had? Paul was saying, "I beseech you, be not conformed to the world, but by the renewing of your mind to these things." Yes. Think about how much time. And all of us, and I'm sure there's, you know, when you get to thinking about it, whether it used to be books, newspapers, now it's a phone, it's always in your hand, there's always a news flash, you know, notifications always coming. Something's happening somewhere, seems like. If you've got one, and they just keep updating their apps, and they keep updating things so that you can't even turn some of it off. It just keeps coming. Satan pushing his civilization out to us. But as our pastor was saying, how even as he read the scripture this morning about praying, how it should be more in our lives, renewing our mind to these things. Where's that battle being fought? What are we allowing? Who's going to win? What are you allowing to take and control you? Where are you putting your focus? But oh my, Paul was not bashful, and he did not mix words. "But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And oh, not just at each church service, but these things ought to be upon our hearts continually. Yes. As Paul said, pray always. And how as we're meditating and walking throughout the day, these things should be burning on our hearts every week, all week long, no matter where we're at. It ought to be continually on our minds at the soon coming of the Lord Jesus and the job that we have left to finish while we're still here.
Yes.
Preparing ourselves and getting ready for that last few moments of time. Let's go ahead and pop over here to Ephesians before I... Ephesians, the second chapter. Paul was pretty confident in a transformed life. It wasn't no, as he just listen as he puts it here and just think about it. We've read this many times, but and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. And so I want you to think about, as we just mentioned briefly, we can see all that took place through Jesus when he was here on the earth walking. We see him open up the scriptures and show us from Genesis to the New Testament, what God was doing and the plan that was written out through those prophets and God making it manifest. But then we see that day come in the book of Acts there with the day of Pentecost. And he told him to go up there and wait and the power would come, and it did. And I want you to think about that as I'm going to read. I want to read something here, and I tried to shorten this up, but this is... in the Easter Seal, preached April 10th, 1965. And I'll just start here about paragraph 111. He says, there ain't no devil, no church, or any theology that can overstep the boundaries of God's proof of abstract. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has recognized us in Jesus Christ, and we're just as sure to raise as he raised, because potentially we have already raised in him. The old things, what does it do to our mortal bodies? It turns our opinions, it changes our notions, and it sets our affections on things which are above. I want you to notice what he's saying happens. And as we inspect ourselves daily and measure ourselves up by the word, this is the things that we've got to look and see. Am I seeing this change in my life? Am I seeing that I'm matching what these words are saying that new birth would do in my heart and in my life as an individual? He says it sets our affections on things above, smoking, drinking, gambling, the things that you used to do is dead, it's beneath you. And you are quickened. This quickening power brings your body into a raptured condition. Already, notice the Pentecostal people up there, when they got quickened by the Holy Spirit, listen to me, when these Pentecostal group up there on the day of Pentecost received their abstract deed from God, sure, it glorified their souls. They screamed, they saw tongues of fire separated upon each of them, and it so quickened their body, till they couldn't even speak in an earthly language anymore. It quickened their body to a heavenly language, the place they're going to. Quickening power of God shook their mortal bodies so, till their entire mortal language is transfigured, transformed into an immortal language. What a quickening power. Something that belongs. And if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. We are quickened by the power of the living God. Their tongues quicken to a new heavenly language to speak to them, a rapturing up, raising up into a different atmosphere than what they had ever lived in. And also with new quickening life to them, but that come in them, it quickened their language. They spoke in new tongues. Oh, yes. And watch them. It also was designed to give them, after their abstract, it was designed to give them every promise that was on the grounds. Every promise on the grounds of God's words that was promised in the Bible, that quickening power was to give them, to quicken that promise to them. Therefore, They laid hands on the sick and they were healed. They spoke in new tongues. They done great signs and wonders because that was in God's promise. And when Jesus died to redeem that back to them, the grounds that belonged to the sons of God, he demonstrated that that's what God was.
Yes.
How dare we socialize that and put it into an organization? We have no right to do that. But it's the Holy Spirit today hunting out honest hearts that will believe that message, and everything in the Bible that was promised is to the believer. And when you accept it in its fullness, God knows what you'll do, and he'll give you the abstract, and every promise that's made is in your possession. Think about the promises that are laying there.
Yes,
every redemptive blessing was paid for on the cross of Calvary. Think about what he's done for us and what he's brought back to us. What kind of people should we be? How wonderful to see God's great Holy Spirit here to do that power. And think of it, when the Holy Ghost itself is here to bear record in this hour, and Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How dare any man to wipe that out of there? The works that I do shall you do also, John 14:12. These signs shall follow them that believe. That is the assurance. And when we see a group of people sitting together and those signs manifesting themselves, that's the assurance that the abstract is there to vindicate that that's the property of God. Now, we could just stop right there. And it sounds pretty much, if I only just took that little portion, boy, I could really go back to preaching. We just need to be speaking in tongues and jumping and shouting, don't it? Sounds like we could leave it there, but God didn't leave anything halfway done. But he brought a full message, a full word to show us why each stage took place exactly and placed it in there where it was. And he brought it down the line and showing us where we are. And oh my, and look at how many times God's prophet would always say, don't shout or jump no higher than you can live. And how he showed us it was a life that was to be lived. Jesus Christ taking this body over and transforming it, moving it and bringing it under subjection to every word, that every word would be fulfilled. Does that do away with those promises? No. But do I just only need that to get by? No, that ain't enough. That's only a portion of the word. That's only a portion that goes with it. And the devil can impersonate any gift, but he cannot impersonate that life of Jesus Christ. Amen. He cannot live it out. Amen. Think about it here. I'm going to jump down to paragraph 131 and just pick back up where Brother Branham is saying. He says, notice now the quickening power that only comes. And there's a lot of mockery of it. There's a lot of people that really think they got it when they haven't. A lot of people do it because they've got some false impression of what they've seen other Christians do. Satan can impersonate any of that. We know that. As missionaries, you can see it impersonated. Shouted, dancing, speaking in tongues, all these things. You can see it impersonated anywhere, absolutely. Amongst heathens and people who deny there's such a thing as Jesus Christ being the Son of God. They do all of those things themselves. But the real true quickening spirit that comes to the believer quickens him to God's word. Amen. Think about how many times he said, if your spirit won't punctuate every word of God with an amen, there's something wrong. Amen. And oh my, how we want to make sure that every word that comes forth, I'm not shaking my head in disagreement, but I'm saying, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Yes. Make it real to me, Lord. Maybe I don't only fully understand what you're trying to show me, but open up my understanding, Lord, and make it real to me. Amen. For you promised you would lead me into all truths. And bring back to my remembrance everything that you have said unto us.
Yes.
And make it real to me, Lord. Not resting in my own ability to figure it out and try to place it here and try to place it there. But Lord, you lead and guide, and let me be of a humble enough spirit just to yield, Lord, and say, let you have your way. Maybe it means I can't open my mouth and try to show how much I know about a subject. Maybe it means I don't get to talk and speak up when somebody else is having a conversation. But if that's what God's will is, then let me be humble and let me be quiet and say, Lord, let me wait on you to make sure that whatever you show me, that if I should speak or say anything, Lord, it'll bring glory and honor back to your name.
Yes.
Proving out exactly what Jesus said it would be. He said that spirit to quicken him to God's word. That's back to Eagle Food again, right back where he lives. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And wasn't that what to restore everything? That's why God sent a prophet to tie up all the loose ends and to bring it all back right where we're standing today to a full maturity a full son. Amen. Think about it. Brother Branham said it. We've read this many times, but just think about this. This is in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And we've all read it, but let's just rehearse it. Paragraph 374. He says, what was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God, and he was God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was history. He was he that was to come, and he that was, and he that is, and he that's to be in this day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose. And through that purpose, a purpose, he achieved a church that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days. When he gets the preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church, Jesus said, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, what is his purpose? There was a manifestation, and now today he wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the word. See, Jesus so seen it so perfectly was born for the day until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation, God revealed. And he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in this last day be revealed, see? He could go back and pick up what these other fellows had left off here in the last days by his Holy Spirit and reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. He's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died, the second fold of the threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, then express himself in the church. The same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded, and it causes a short and blows a fuse. But when the current is flowing freely, and the Word of God, it expresses itself, the works that I do shall ye also, and in the last days it shall come to pass. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the father and the children back to the fathers. And I want you to think about that. This is an individual vindication of the Holy Spirit to the individual, as he had said earlier in the message. Just coming to church is not enough. Just sitting in a pew and saying, I'm doing everything the pastor's saying, that's not enough. The Holy Ghost comes in and it's a life that you can't live yourself, and he lives it out through you by a desire he places on the inside that takes your body under subjection. And it's not digging through the message, can I go do this thing? Can I go over here? Can I get by with this? Can I get through with this without somebody saying, no. But God changes our passion, our desire, everything about us comes under subjection to this word. He becomes our first love. And that's what our affections have been set on, things above. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. All of this down here has become temporal and secondary, and it holds no value to you. And how easy it is when you're looking up and seeing what God's prepared for you, how easy it is to see that everything you've got down here is just borrowed. It has nothing for you. If it's gone here today, gone tomorrow. And you know, I think of Job as I was thinking of the trials and the things that he went through and how all that happened to him. But to be able to sit there with that desire in his heart, though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. He can take it all away. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. But think about that attitude. And oh my, as our lives came to that realization that I'm only here for one purpose. Not to be an American citizen. Not to live this life and see how much money I can store up in the bank for my retirement. Or how great it can be. But I was here for one purpose, that Jesus Christ could express through this body today. The same as when Peter was there on the day of Pentecost, his purpose, he realized why he had been sent and born and raised up for that time. Paul realized why he had been sent to this earth. The revelation that was striking his heart, seeing that he was here for a purpose. And when he was able to testify at the book of Acts, I have finished my course. And he did not tarry. Brother Brandon, when he was here, his testimony proved out that he had lived his life for the purpose for which he was sent. He was called to. And each one of us, we may not be ministers, we may not be anything, we might just be laity sitting in a pew, but we've been called for a purpose. We've been sent here to let this Holy Spirit take and make every word in this Bible come alive, that Jesus Christ can express through each and every one of us at our due season, whatever our place may be, and everywhere we walked, that he might declare to this nation and to this people that he is alive and living. The same God that wrote the Bible, that put that work, book of Acts, that you could see where God was doing through those men's lives, he's going to do it through your life and my life. As that mean we're all going to go out and raise the dead? No. Does it mean we're all going to go out here and dance and run all over the street? No, it doesn't. But God's Spirit is still just as real today as it was then. And if God had a purpose for somebody to dance in the Spirit, it'll happen just the way He wants it to happen. But God does everything sovereign in the way He wants it done and when He places it there. And you watch the Holy Spirit, it's always sweet and humble, and there will be no confusion in it. Oh, He's not an author of confusion. Amen. I'm so glad I serve a God that does everything right and precise. You don't have to sit back and wonder. You don't have to shake your head and say, boy, I wonder if that... No, it'll prove itself out. Just be still and watch. God will vindicate Himself. Amen. He is His own interpreter. Hallelujah.
As He says here, let me see here. See, but when they accept a hybrid denomination, see, the word, it's grounded. But when the current is flowing freely, the word of God expresses itself. Let me drop down. And in there should come forth a time He could express Himself in the fullness of the Godhead, the deity, through His church, having the preeminences in this church. Oh my, the anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my, to bring back to the anointed bride, the bridegroom, anointed. Why? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam. Coming back with the anointing of the word, because He said, my word is spirit. And the anointed with the word, what Eve turned down, He come back and we accept. See that hybrid condition again, just exactly what done Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this and don't you do that, and you can do this and that. And Satan said, you know, but she turned and listened to him. But Eve in the last day is not going to do it because she's predestinated not to do it. Yes, sir, God's going to do it. He knows He'll have it. He said church would be there without spot or wrinkle. And she's going to stand there in the splendor of Him. And His word made manifest. She'll be a token to the world. She'll be something to the world that the world can look and say, well, the rest of the world, she's a holy roller. She's a second cousin. She doesn't belong to our group. I know, that's a good thing. She belongs to the group up here. And oh my, is that because of what they're going to do on their own? No. It's because we are His workmanship, created in His image to be here today. And by God's grace, we're here to be a fulfillment of His precious spoken word. It's already been spoken what that bride would be. Before there was a moon or a star, He saw that each one of us that are sitting here with this burning in our heart tonight, He knew that we would be here at this place and time, listening to God's word, crying out for a revelation. Lord, more of You and less of me. But God knows our hearts even tonight, as our pastor was saying this morning as he was bringing. God knows what our desire is. Am I just serving Him because of my family is going to church and everybody else is part of it? God knows what our desires is, and our life proves out where our first love is every day. And people can see whether my sole desire is to serve Jesus Christ, or is that just second nature, something that's something coming by for me. But oh, by God's grace, I want Him to be able to look down and to see. He searches the rain and He knows the heart. And I want Him to see in me the clean desire and a pulsing desire to serve Him and to be what He wants me to be. And I pray that that's burning in your heart as well, to be exactly what God ordered us to be. That this word might be fulfilled. All down through, we've seen it line up. We've seen what God has done. But today it's our turn to be the man. Let Him be the manifestation through our lives of what He said that bride would be, as He being ready to come back to take her home. Let's see here. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This is in Power of Transformation. Amen. Paragraph 313. This was preached in 65. I didn't write the month on it. Transformed from the church and the world into sons and daughters of God. Notice this in closing now. How the wandering sons of God, wandering out there in the world, some of them, this denomination, from denomination to denomination, like wandering stars, never stable. Like a leaf on the water in the autumn, we used to see it. Leo back in the east there, the leaves would blow down on it. Never let a wind would blow it from this side to that side. But God wants us to be stabled. Anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. Anchored in Jesus, I fear no winds or waves. See, whatever it is. Many of you remember the Inchcape Bell when you were in school, boy or girl. And now listen as he starts right here. He says, Abraham and Sarah's body was transformed to meet the condition of the promised word. See, they were old. Abraham had received the promise, and Sarah, when he was 75 and she was 65,
Past menopause, lived with her since she was a girl, was a half-sister. To keep that promise, both of their bodies was transformed from an old man and woman to a young man or woman to meet the promise of the day. Glory to God, that makes me feel so good, see? I don't care what I was, I don't care how I come here. We can be transformed to meet the promise of this day. Amen. When we can dwell together in unity in the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and live as brothers and sisters, Enoch, his whole body was transformed to meet a type in God. He was taken to heaven without even seeing death, Enoch was. And Elijah done the same. Jesus' body was transformed from a dead, cold form pulped, beat until his bruises and his ribs stuck through his back. And his heart was run through with a spear, probably that wide, stabbed right through his heart. And blood and water came, even the moisture from his body left. And the blood run down the spear and off of his feet and trickled onto the ground. And he was so dead, the moon and stars said he was dead. The earth said he was dead. It had a nervous prostration. The rock shook out of the earth and everything. Everything said he was dead. Even God hid his face. He was dead. But his body was transformed. Why? Because God said, I'll not leave his soul in hell. Neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. There's no way to do it. And some of these days, our bodies may be stretched out. It's going to sound like he's changing a little bit, but just hold on. Some of these days, our bodies may be stretched out in a casket, and you may come and look upon me laying in a casket, and I may come and look upon you and might have to say the last words over you, something like that, but you will never keep us in the grave. Amen. They may lay rocks over you. They may bury you in the sea. They may do whatever they want to, but the transforming power of God in 2 Thessalonians said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep, for we say to you by the commandments of the Lord that the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, in which we are alive and remain, as the song said, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. The transforming power of God that's taken us from the chaos of science and education and the things of the world, and the understanding of this modern day has transformed us now into sons and daughters of God. Even death itself can never hold us in the grave. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yes. Oh, you mean to say, I mean to say that that's the truth. Jesus, that word stood on earth, which was the word, and the one that was raised up, raised Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. There is no way to stop the living word of God. It's got to rise again. And from out of the chaos of this modern scientific Eden that we're living in, of culture and science and education and all this modern stuff, we will rise. And this robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize someday. We'll go through the air, and this will all be over for the word of God that's brought us from the modern thinking of our mind, transforming our mind into the renewing of our hearts towards God and our spirits. Amen. The same spirit that spoke, that has transformed us this far, it will also take us into his presence, into his glory with a glorified body. Amen. And I want you to think about that. God's transforming power, this word, being preached in the fullness of the way God delivered it, is transforming you and me by his Holy Spirit. Yes. By us being in the provided way, setting in the word, listening, and letting it take its full sway, it is transforming these bodies to match every word that's been spoken right here. That was God's plan. And I want you to think, and as he said, this modern science, Satan's tried. He's tried every way he can to modernize the thinking. And that's why the sisters want to cut their hair. They're in that modern thinking. Science, education, we've moved on. That was an old time. No, that was God's way. And God's word still holds a standard and says, I have not changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I've said, it will be. And by God's grace, there's been a people predestinated, as the sisters sing that song, to meet that challenge and to be a people that'll stand here today and declare that Jesus Christ is the same and his word doesn't change, but it's laying there for you and I to change these bodies to match it, to be ready in the moment of a twinkling of an eye for a catching away. And by God's grace, I know that I'm one of them that's waiting in love, looking for the promise of this age to be made manifest in my body. Amen. And I pray you're there as well. And oh, may we draw strength and courage. As I said, we can look back and see what God's done. It's never failed. His word has always came to pass. And as we stand here tonight, realizing it's our turn, God's word will do the work that it promised to do if we will but yield to him and say, Lord, here am I. Let it be to me according to that word in humility. and say, Lord, give me the portion that I need. You know what I need, Lord. And oh, watch him do the work. Amen. And watch it bring glory to his name. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Let's sing that little chorus, One of Them. Amen. Is it burning in your heart to be one of them that takes the full word and say, Lord, let it be through me. Let me be that one. Maybe someone walks away because I will stay with it. But Lord, give me the fortitude and the grace to put on that whole armor, as he said this morning, and to stand there with truth and to fight off and to hold true to what God's got for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. Oh, one of them, one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
One of them, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, oh, one of them, one of them, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, oh, one of them, one of them, I'm so glad one of them. Are you happy? Amen. I'm so thankful by God's grace. For by grace you are saved, not of works. So I'm so thankful by his grace I can say I'm one of them. Amen. I love him and appreciate him. So thankful for the word. Refresh our hearts. Stir us. Renew our minds back to it. That we can leave tonight being encouraged. Press on this week now, knowing the devil's going to try something somewhere, but you just keep your heart and mind stayed upon him. Amen. And let God do the work in your life. So thankful for the day that he's given me. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for the precious word of God. And Lord, we can see that it's by grace that, Lord, the word means something to us. Lord, I can think of many that if they'd heard the same thing that we heard right now, these last few moments, it wouldn't mean nothing to them. They would laugh at it. They'd mock it. They'd scoff it. It would be actually to them, Lord, just something of a riddle or something. But Lord, we're so thankful to us by your grace that the word is spirit and it is life. And know the word of God is inspired. It's so refreshing, Lord, as we listen to it again tonight. And we're so appreciative of that, that it does mean that to us. So we ask once more now that you just watch over us, keep us safe upon the highways, and especially those that had to travel so far. Lord, give them a good, safe trip. And Father, as they keep their minds stayed upon you, upon thee, Lord, upon you, your word. And Lord, bring us back the next appointed time, if you should tarry. Lord, we're looking at any time, any moment you're going to appear. Father, we just pray that your will be done in our lives now. And again, thank you for this day, Lord. We appreciate it. Thank you for your many blessings, the many things you do for us, will do, and have done. Thank you for it all. We pray now thy will be done in our lives. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. This single course is worth it all. To be his child. Isn't it though?
Amen.
Regardless what you have to go through, what you may have to face tomorrow, it's worth it all to be his child. Amen. It's worth it all to be his child, to serve him through each last long mile. It's worth it all.